And you're looking in my eyes.
In the pioneer days of 16, all trampling through the mud. Got a crew of old boys on the line and a mule they call a bub. Got a mule they call a bub. Well, I used to wear a big fine hat and suit.
Your Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram time
is 6 o'clock.
FM 104.9 WSKV.
Good evening and hello everyone. Welcome to Pick Your Own Adventure. Get those phones ready. I'm your host, Clarissa Arvin, the bookmobile driver at the Powell County Public Library. We're about to embark on a journey together. You can listen right here every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Pickup Country 104.9 FM or online, live, or on demand at listenlikealocal.com with the WSKV FM mobile app from the Google Play or App Store or on Apple Podcasts. Live listeners can choose our path by texting WSKV in real time to 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. But first, beware and warning. The books you're about to hear are not like any regular books. During Pick Your Own Adventure, you and you alone are in charge of what happens next in our stories. There are dangers, choices, adventures, and consequences. You must be quick on your feet and ready to use your wit, talents, and bravery. The wrong decision could end in disaster, or worse. But the choice is yours. When prompted to alter the fate of the story, just text your decision in real time to WSKB at 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811. Get ready to be on the edge of your seat and let's get started. So, last show we started the adventure Mystery of the Maya by R.A. Montgomery. We find out that our friend Tom has disappeared 3 days ago in Mexico on an assignment. This assignment took place at the ancient Mayan temples of Chichen Itza. We decided to go to Mexico to find Tom in case something bad has happened. Tom had flown to Merida, so our first step was to fly there and meet Tom's guide, Manuel. Manuel has been known to be a possible reincarnation of an ancient Mayan shaman. Once we met Manuel, he tells us that he tried to help Tom, but he wouldn't listen to his advice. He suggests our first step is to talk to a Mr. Dr. Lopez, who ends up telling us about a time-traveling potion that he had given Tom to take near the ancient pyramids. He suggests we do the same. We decided to reject the potion and go to check out Chichen Itza ourselves. Once there, a crowd has gathered as a large spacecraft can be seen hovering above the pyramid. Manuel tells us that the Mayan ruins have been contact points for other planets. We now face a tempting choice to join a mission with the UFO or to continue our job here on Earth. What will we choose? Earth is seen as a leading planet. Other civilizations want to learn from us. They send emissaries to ask us to return to them to an outer galactic congress on the rights of life and the universe. That is the last group of people attending the congress to depart. If you think Tom may have gone on the mission, you should have joined them. Is Manuel making this up? There is no denying the red glow on top of the pyramid. If we decide to join the mission, knowing the danger of never returning, text the number 62. If we decide to stay and finish our job, text the number 64. You are the one controlling our stories. With the power to text, your faithful choices choose which path our story takes. Text 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811. We have decided to join the mission knowing the danger of never returning. One by one, the group standing at the pyramid enters the spacecraft by the transporter beam. You notice that halfway to the spacecraft, their bodies begin to glow. No one seems to be afraid. Gaining confidence, you step into the transporter beam and are carried up into the spacecraft. You hear nothing as you shoot up and away into the far reaches of the universe, to the planet Merganect and the Great Congress on Intergalactic Life. You wonder why the Mayan sites are chosen as contact points. Their burial and complex society seems an odd choice for other planets. Who knows what lies ahead? The end. Which leads us into the next adventure, The Trial of Lost Time by R.A. Montgomery. You stare at the envelope with your name written in faded ink. The lawyer handed it to you an hour ago after he read your grandfather's will. Your grandfather, Jasper, was a world-famous archaeologist. He left the ranch in New Mexico to your parents, where you spend every summer. He left you some stocks and bonds to pay for college. Last of all, he left you the envelope you are looking at. The lawyer said something very strange when he handed it to you. Your grandfather said that what was in this envelope was the most valuable thing of all. Then he gave you a wink. Your mind drifts back 4 years, when you and your grandfather were digging near a midden, or garbage heap, about a half a mile from the old adobe house where he lived. You were only 8 then. You remember the rocky, dry, reddish soil, the desert plants, a few flowers, and the scrub pinyon dotting the rough hillside. That was when you saw a flash in the sunlight, something white and shiny. What is that? You wondered. You brushed the red dirt away quickly. A skull! You found a fossilized skull. It was when you touched the skull that something really strange happened. What have you got there? Your grandfather asks. You give him a strangest look as the words tumble into your head. This is the fossilized skull of an Azazi Paleo-Indian. Carbon dated and DNA sampling will most probably reveal that it is 2,200 years old. Male, aged around late teens, died of wounds from hunting prototype bison. Your grandfather raised his eyebrows, smiled, and nodded. So, you have the gift, he said, sounding impressed. I was wondering if anyone else in the family would inherit it. You see, no one knows this, not even your parents. But whenever I make a new find, a pot or a basket, well, all I have to do is touch it, and somehow I know how old it is and where it came from. Does that mean you'll tell me what's in the hidden canyon at the far end of the ranch? Your grandfather just smiled. One day I will. Just be patient. You glance down now at your grandfather's envelope. He told the lawyer that it contained the most valuable thing he owned. Does it contain clues to the location of the ancient Box Canyon that was kept secret and off limits? To be honest, I don't think it actually exists, your dad said one day when you asked. Those stories about people disappearing into the canyon are just rumors. People disappearing? You rip open the envelope. My dear child, when I was a young man studying for my archaeology degree, I had a vivid dream. In it, I entered a narrow gorge, no wider than a man. The gorge led to a round room, carved out of rock, but open to the sky. Once inside, I could travel to many places in time, even back before human habitation on planet Earth. I realized that the room was a kiva, the kind used by the Pueblo Indians as a place of ceremony. And this dream kiva was a kind of a wormhole to the past. Years later, on a dig here in New Mexico, I came face to face with the same narrow gorge. Except this time, it was real. The entrance to the space was between two tall rocks and nearly invisible. The gorge twisted and turned and finally led into the same ancient kiva open to the sky. Thus, below, I give you my most precious possession. It is a drawing of the canyon entrance and a map that will take you there. Once inside, follow the trail to the second left after the first right. Upon entering the kiva, look for the ancient map carved into the sandstone. Study it closely before choosing. You must feel your way, and it will guide you well. If you pay close attention, it will lead you home. Good luck. Much love, Grandpa Jasper. You find your mom in the kitchen making dinner. Her eyes are red from crying, but you pretend not to notice. I'm going out for a walk, you say. That's fine, but be home in an hour, she says, or you'll be late for dinner. Right, you nod, taking off out the back door. You quickly hike past the horse paddocks and the old barn. You glance at the diagram in the litter and take a winding trail into the hills. A short while later, less than a half a mile from the house, you come upon the canyon entrance, just as your grandfather drew it. You have passed this a million times, but you have never seen it before now. Do you have time to go inside to investigate, or should you wait and start fresh tomorrow? If you decide to investigate right away, text the number 7. If you decide to go home for dinner and come back first thing in the morning, text the number 9. Just text your decision in real time to 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811.
WSKV 104.9 Pickup Country, serving Powell, Estill, Montgomery, Clark, Lee, Bath, Menifee, Owsley, and Wolf Counties.
Tune in every Thursday evening at 6 o'clock p.m. right here on Pickup Country 104.9. Online, live, or on demand at listenlikealocal.com with your mobile app from the Google Play or App Store or on Apple Podcast.
For the Pick Me a Story series, where you'll embark on a journey through the pages of different stories read aloud by featured librarians from the Powell County Public Library. Don't miss this magical experience. Sci-fi and fantasy, westerns,
mysteries,
and more. Sit back after dinner with the entire family and enjoy hearing new books read aloud in the comfort of your own space. 6 p.m. Thursdays right here on your hometown station, WSKV.
Hey there, this is Sonora May. The Kentucky Cabinet for Health and Family Services suggests that if you are 60 years and older or have diabetes, heart disease, lung disease, kidney failure, or other chronic major medical condition, that you avoid contact with the general public and that you consult the CDC guidance. This message is brought to you by Pickup Country 104.9 WSKV.
We have decided to investigate right away. You look at your watch. There are still 40 minutes until dinner. It can't hurt to take a quick look inside. At least you can begin to look for the carved map your grandfather wrote about. You slip between the two nondescript boulders into a narrow canyon. There's just enough room to get by. You can easily touch both sides of the canyon wall. After 100 feet or so, you come to a fork. You flick on your LED mini flashlight. You reread the letter. Your grandfather said to take the second left after the first right. This must be the first right, so you take it. Several seconds later, there's a fork to the left, but you walk straight. Then you reach the second left, and the air suddenly grows colder. Overhead, the canyon opened to a mesa above, and less than 2 feet wide. It feels like you are descending lower as you move ahead. Suddenly, you turn a final corner and stumble into a round space. Carved in the rock and sacred kiva your grandfather wrote about. It's no more than 25 feet across, but it's at least 75 feet to the opening above. You scan the entire circle, carefully panning the flashlight's beam across the stone. There it is, the map carved into the wall. You approach the petroglyph map. The sandstone is old, and the carving is faint. It seems like a random mix of different ancient icons. A woolly mammoth, some small dugout canoes, the flute player, Cocopilli, who looks like an ant playing the flute, and a large spider. There are also some large, uneven shapes that are connected by a thin strip near the very top. You stare some more. Something about the shapes seem familiar. Then it dawns on you. It's a map of the world. The blotch to the left, or west, is the Asian landmass. The shape to the east is the continent of North America. It seems to go as far south as Guatemala, or maybe Colombia, and the thin thread connecting to the two continents must be the Bering Strait. During the last ice age, 10,000 years ago, sea levels fell so low that a land bridge appeared between the two continents, and people traveled across. Your grandfather was right about one thing. This map is very, very old. You continue to study it. There is one icon you don't understand. A spiral. It appears 3 times. Now what? You look around. Where is the entrance? You feel a surge of panic. You came in from the opposite side of the kiva. If that's what this is. But the opening from the narrow gorge is gone. And unlike a real kiva, there is no ladder to the top. How do you get out? Is that a door over to your left? You take deep breaths and try to stay calm. You open your grandfather's letter. You must feel your way, he says. Feel? What can he mean? Does he mean that you should touch the carving? It's now dark and way past dinner time, but you don't know what else to do. If you touch the mammoth, text the number 13. If you touch the flute player, called Cocopelli, text the number 39. If you touch the small log raft, text the number 57. You are the one controlling our stories. With the power to text, your faithful choices choose which path our story takes. Text 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811. We have decided to touch the mammoth. You reach out nervously and touch the woolly mammoth. As your fingers touch the rough stone, everything goes dark. You feel yourself falling through space until you land with a thump. You shake your head and look around as things come into focus. You're lying in the tundra. As you stand up, all you can see are rolling hills, covered in Arctic grasses, stretching miles in the distance. It's bordered by a mountain of white ice to the west. "Where have you been?" a voice behind you demands. "We've been looking for you everywhere. We were about to leave you behind. Are you afraid to hunt the mammoth? If you are, you can stay behind and help the old ones with the young children." You whirl around and face a young boy. He looks about 13. He's covered in animal skins and wears a skin tied around his head like a scarf. He is holding a spear tipped with a sharp flint. He obviously knows you well. He is not speaking English, but when you open your mouth to reply, neither are you. How do you know this odd language? If you say, "I am feeling unwell, so I will stay behind for now with the old ones and children," text the number 15. If you say, "I am sorry to delay everyone, but I am ready to leave on the hunt," text the number 28. Just text your decision in real time to 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811. We have decided to say, "I am sorry to delay everyone, but I am ready to leave on the hunt." You grab a spear from the remaining pile near the edge of the camp and run to catch up with the others. You learn that the boy you found, who found you after coming through the wormhole, is named Erkin. The mood among the group is lighthearted for the first hour, but comes more serious as you approach the hunting grounds. One of the leaders, a thin young man around 15, signals everyone to stop. Asketh, our scout, spotted the herd of young mammoth about 2 fets from here, near the great ice, he begins. He draws out a stick in the dirk. The narrow route through the ice to the long valley is here, he adds. Several among the group nod in comprehension. How shall we hunt today? A woman asks. We can steer them into the narrow path and topple a boulder, suggests an older man. I thought Askus said that one of the mammoths looked weak, another woman adds. One of its tusks is broken. The fast ones could circle and approach from the opposite way, Erkin suggests. The herd would scatter, and the weak one would be last to move. You are both frightened and excited. You suddenly notice everyone glancing in your direction. Why? Finally, the oldest man asks, would you mind if we use the route to the Long Valley since the last time we did so, your father was killed there? You need to make a decision. If you say that you think the group will have more luck by scattering the herd and going after the weak mammoth, text the number 30. If you say that it is okay to use the route to the Long Valley, that a kill there would honor your father's memory, text the number 33. You are the one controlling our stories. With the power to text, your faithful choices choose which path our story takes. Text 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811. We have decided to say that it is okay to use the route to the Long Valley, and a kill would honor your uncle's memory, your father's memory. It would honor my father's memory to make a kill where he was killed, you say. Let us steer the herd towards the route to the Long Valley. Everyone nods, and you notice several people rub their foreheads twice quickly with their thumb. You are not sure if it's a prayer for your father or a wish for good luck in the hunt. The young man leading splits the group into two. You are directed to be with Erkin and 4 others, and you are assigned to the entrance through the great ice. As Erkin comes into a step alongside you, he whispers, I know exactly which boulder we should seek to kill the mammoth. You arrive at the break in the great ice around 30 minutes later. It is as wide as 2 mammoths side by side. There, Erkin points to a spot where some rocks emerge from the ice about 400 feet up the side of the glacier. He scrambles ahead, and you follow. It is colder here, and the path is slippery. You get into position behind the boulder. It, indeed, is perfectly placed for toppling into the narrow path below. The group is split into 3. 2 more boulder perches are manned on the other side of the gap. Everyone sets in for the wait. You know that this is a burial way to kill the majestic mammoth, but it means survival for you and your people. You must get meat for winter. The smaller animals are getting scarce, and the season for hunting will be over soon. You must have fallen asleep, for the next thing you know, Erkin is shaking you awake. They are coming, he whispers. You peer around the boulder and see 6 woolly mammoths, each as tall as a house, thundering towards the narrow path. You look across the gorge and see the 2 other outposts ready to push the boulders. Erkin watches carefully and then commands, Now! The 2 of you push, but nothing happens. You grab your spear and use it as a lever. Erkin watches you, stunned. The boulder tumbles down the side of the glacier and hits the 1st mammoth in the rear hip. The beast trumpets in pain, but continues on. Watch out! Erkin yells. You look back to see a small avalanche of rocks and dislodged ice hurtle down. Suddenly, you lose your footing. You fall into the ice and begin sliding down the side of the glacier, into the path of the oncoming mammoths. They trumpet, angry now, and stampede towards you. You see your life at home in New Mexico flash before your eyes. You see your parents, your favorite horse, the ranch, your collection of ancient pottery shards. You frantically look around for a way out. As you do, you notice a small rock carved with a spiral. You reach out towards it. Everything goes dark as the first mammoth hoof comes down on your chest. You jerk awake, yelling. You're lying on the grass in the small garden behind Grandpa Jasper's study. Your father sticks his head out the window and asks, "What are you yelling about? It's dinner time." The end. And with that, I guess we will continue with Lost on the Amazon by R.A. Montgomery. You are a doctor, and your specialty is tropical diseases. After college and medical school, you worked in a remote jungle hospital in Africa. There, you gain recognition for your work on malaria, blackwater fever, and a dreaded leprosy. You have stopped at a hotel in Manaus, Brazil, the last major town on the Amazon River. Upstream from here, the river snakes into an almost impenetrable rainforest, dangerous and mysterious. You are the doctor for a small, highly skilled expedition. Your task is to search for and lend medical skills to the lost villages of the forest people. You will meet tribes who have never seen modern people, and who knows? Perhaps even the fabled Amazon's women of the strength and courage who live without men. A difficult case at the hospital for the tropical diseases delayed your coming to Brazil, but at last you have arrived. You're waiting to be picked up by one of the guides working for your expedition. The others went ahead 11 days ago. You approach the hotel desk and ask once again, "Any emails or faxes for me?" The man at the desk smothers a yawn and answers in English, "I am very, very sorry, doctor, but as I have been telling you all day long, there are no, I repeat, no messages for you." "Okay, thanks. Just let me know if there are any messages, okay?" But of course. In this strange part of the world, things go slowly. He turns away from the front desk and sits down to his cup of thick black coffee. "What now? You've been here for a full day. It's almost impossible to get a cell phone service in this town. No guide, no messages, no clues as to what to do next. It is as if the Amazon has swallowed all trace of your expedition." You walk out of the three-story wooden-framed hotel and cross the street. The sun beats down, reflecting off the road in shimmering waves. The air is heavy, humid, and ripe with the smell of vegetation, a sweet smell that promises both life and death. You wander through the city and eventually end up at the river, where you sit on a bench and gaze at the water, lost in thought. The Amazon River at this point is broad and swift. You know it is the largest river in the world. The Amazon and its tributaries drain an enormous basin. In all, there are 15,000 miles of navigable riverways that are surrounded by an expanse of jungle and dwarves, the river system. On the river, you face piranhas, alligators, poisonous snakes, and deadly electric eels. But the jungle hides more than physical danger. Anything could be hidden there. You stare at the pulsing lifeline of water and feel anxious to join your friends, who have already begun to penetrate its mysteries. With a start, you realize you have lost track of time. You must have been looking at the river for hours. You hurry back. When you return to the hotel, the desk clerk rushes out to meet you. "Where have you been? Where have you been? We have been looking for you." The clerk hurries you inside and presents you to a short, powerful-looking man. The man looks at you with bright, alert eyes. "My name is Owa. I bring bad news. Very bad news. Your friends are lost deep in the Amazon jungle. You are shocked and don't know what to say. 6 days ago, Owa says calmly, before the sun rose, there came a song of the jungle flute. It lasted less than a minute. Then it came again, and again, and again. I warned your friends, but they did not listen. They were under the spell of the music. They disappeared and did not return. I fear for their lives. This is not the first time the jungle flute music has claimed sacrifices. You stare at this man, imagining the worst. At the moment, two police officers, members of the river patrol, arrive. The hotel clerk has called them with the news of the disappearance of your friends. This is a serious matter, says one of the officers. We must organize a rescue party. We will go by river patrol boat with a force of soldiers. It will take 3 days to arrange. You must wait here. The guide shakes his head. That is not good. We must go at once. It will take you to my dugout canoe. We must go quietly so as not to disturb the spirits of the jungle. The clerk suggests that you rent a plane and fly to the last known location of the expedition. An overhead fan drones on, scarcely stirring the humid air. If you decide to go with the guide in his dugout, text the number 7. If you decide to rent a plane to speed up the search, text the number 46. If you decide to wait for the river patrol, text the number 92.
Just text your decision in real time to 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811.
.9 FM, WSKB.
This message is brought to you by the Powell County Public Library. All checkout dates have been extended until further notice, and there will be no late fees on any account at this time. As the library works towards its reopening date, you can expect our book drop service to return soon, as well as our new innovative curbside service. For more information about these services and the innovative programs we offer, keep an eye on the official Powell County Public Library Facebook page for any and all updates. Free Wi-Fi is still offered at the Powell County Public Library, which is located by Stanton Elementary. To access this Wi-Fi from the comfort of your vehicle, just select the network Public Library Wireless and use the free Wi-Fi password PCPLKY65. Free Wi-Fi is also provided at the stationary bookmobile, which is in its new location at the Clay City Elementary. To take advantage of the Bookmobile Wi-Fi, just sign on to the network Bookmobile Wireless and use the same password for the main library, which is PCPLKY65. Flyers containing all of this information are posted on the doors of the main library and on the Bookmobile for reference. Although the library isn't open to the public yet, you can still check out our online catalog by going to the Powell County Public Library's website at pcplky.org. to see everything our digital collection has to offer. And you can check out digital library books, audiobooks, and magazines with the free Libby or OverDrive apps in the Google Play or App Store. All you need is the barcode number on the back of your library card to have access to thousands of ebooks and digital materials. For any questions, just message the official Powell County Public Library Facebook page or send the library an email at info@pcplky.org. The staff of the Powell County Public Library encourages the community to continue practicing safe and social distancing methods as our community opens back up so that we can all be a part of Team Kentucky.
Hey, this is Sonora May. I hope you guys are staying safe and enjoying time at home with loved ones. You can help stop the spread of respiratory diseases like COVID-19 virus by cleaning and disinfecting frequently touched objects or surfaces. This message is brought to you by Pickup Country 104.9 WSKV.
We have decided to go with the guide in his dugout. I will go with you, Owa. Owa looks straight at you with strength and pride. We must leave at once, he says. The officers become very excited. One of them grabs you by the arm and says firmly, "Do not go. It is too dangerous. No good will come of it. I will not allow it. You must wait." You shake him off and turn to Awa, saying, "I am ready. My gear isn't even unpacked. Let's go." With that, you get your gear and leave. As you walk out the front door, you hear the clerk say to the officers, "They are fools, these two. The river is dangerous, and so is the jungle. They are lost even before they start." Awa helps you with your gear, and soon you are standing at the river's edge beside a slender dugout canoe. The boat is about 20 feet long. An old 6-horsepowered outboard motor is attached to the stern with a wooden bracket. 2 short paddles, a long pole, and a net are in the dugout. Also in the canoe are 3 spears, their sharp points wrapped in broad green leaves and bound with vines, and a bow with a bark quiver of arrows. Awa has a machete on his belt. "Step into the middle of the canoe," he says. "Otherwise, it will tip. Do not move or change positions quickly. Do not drag your hand into the water." You nod as he gives you instructions, but you certainly don't need them. You are familiar with boats, and you have lived in the jungle. All in all, though, the precautions are wise. The woman does not move. There is no sign of fear or hostility on her face. Owo pulls the starter cord. The motor sputters, then catches, and the canoe darts out into the current of the Amazon. You head upstream. Ahead of you is a wall of green broken only by the blue and white of sky and clouds. Quickly disappearing behind you is Manaus. Already, the buildings are a little more than lumps in the mist of the green. In a moment, they are gone. The sun burns your flesh. Insects torment your skin. And the brown water ripples past the bow of your canoe. The day passes. Before you know it, the sun is slipping into the distant green. Darkness will come quickly. Owa, who has remained silent, now speaks. "Night is soon upon us. If we camp, we lose time. Their trail is growing cold. But the river at night is filled with danger. You must decide. If you want to continue through the night, text the number 14. If you decide to camp for the night, text the number 11. You are the one controlling our stories. With the power to text, your faithful choices choose which path our story takes. Text 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811.
Eastern Kentucky's country, WSKV 104.9 FM.
And on the web
at WSKVFM.com.
Tune in every Thursday evening at 6 o'clock p.m. right here on Pickup Country 104.9. Online, live, or on demand at listenlikealocal.com with your mobile app from the Google Play or App Store or on Apple Podcasts.
For the Pick Me a Story series, where you'll embark on a journey through the pages of different stories read aloud by featured librarians from the Powell County Public Library. Don't miss this magical experience. Sci-fi and fantasy, westerns,
mysteries,
and more. Sit back after dinner with the entire family and enjoy hearing new books read aloud in the comfort of your own space. 6 p.m. Thursdays right here on your hometown station, WSKV.
Hey, Powell County residents, this is Sarah Beth Terry. Did you know that free drive-through testing for COVID-19 is available at Foothills Health and Wellness Center, 108 12th Street in Clay City, on Mondays, 9 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., and on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m.? These tests are offered in partnership with the Powell County Health Department. Call 606-663-9011 to schedule an appointment. Stay well. This message is brought to you by Pickup Country WSKV.
We have decided to camp for the night. I can't go any farther today, Awa. We must camp here. In the half light of early evening, you see him nod. but he does not speak. He guides the canoe to a suitable spot on the bank of the river. Together, you start a fire. High in the forest, you hear the screeching of howler monkeys. You wish it were dawn, and you wish you were on your way. There is a strange and comfortable feeling to this place. After dinner, Oa makes a hammock out of vines and long strips of bark. The bed looks unstable to you, but Oa climbs in without a word and goes to sleep. You sit, staring at the fire, worrying about your friends, unsure of your next move. Near midnight, you are restless and go wide awake, leaving the dwindling campfire and walk down the water's edge. A splash attracts your attention. Not far from the bank, you see a head of a large animal surrounded by churning water. You bend down for a closer look and slip on the mud. Too late, you realize you have fallen into a piranha feeding frenzy. The end. And that is very unfortunate. We will go on to our next adventure, Chinese Dragons by R.A. Montgomery. The room where you sleep is a small, cramped room. In one corner, the sacks of seed needed for planting are kept. There are not as many sacks as usual, and your uncle and his wife are worried. They have 11 mouths to feed and only a small patch of land upon which to earn their livelihood. Your uncle, Wei, is not a main man, yet neither is he happy and easygoing. Life has been hard for him, and the opportunities that others readily take advantage of, he has seldom taken. Consequently, the parcel of the land left to him by his father, a man well-loved in this small Chinese hamlet located outside the walls of the great town of Luang, has dwindled from a sizable piece that once commended respect to a scraggly plot of land that now yields little, even in the best of times. The dark part of the night has already passed, and the sky lightens slowly with the promise of sun and warmth. It has been a long and hard winter, fast on the heels of a fall when the harvest offered little. The old people in the village talk unhappily about the time of the great droughts when thousands of people died, and when those who would walk hundreds of miles to the south in search of food and work. Some of those travelers returned with grim stories of bandits, thieves, and murderers. They did not find work, food, or housing, and they were not welcome. The great Mother Earth of China could be cruel, and the people feared those days. The Chinese dragons, kindly spirits who brought the rain for the crops, were nowhere to be found. You shift in your bed, trying to find a soft spot. The mattress, made of leaves and wheat stalks, is hard and lumpy. The room is cold, and a persistent wind comes off the vast depths of Inner Mongolia. It finds you wrapped in a thin, coarse hemp cloth blanket, your only guard against the cold. Unable to sleep, you push the blanket aside, careful not to disturb the mongrel dog who shares your bed, and step onto the earthen floor that even in the summer is never warm. A window fashioned from greased paper and shuttered against the cold draws you toward it. The rusted iron catch yields to your touch, and you peer through, gazing out at the dawn. The tinge of red in the sky is like a magic show to you, and your heart leaps, taking you far from the hardships of your life. Images of warmth, enormous banquets, clothing, and a farmhouse that would please a person of any taste all rush to your mind. They are quickly replaced with sadness, brought on by the sudden memory of your parents, who have long since succumbed to the disease that took many lives in your village. You leave off your feelings of sadness and the dreams and give you small comfort and turn back to the realities of your life. Today is to be a long day of work, preparing the fields for planting. Soon your uncle will call, and you will like to be up and ready before then. These quiet moments are yours to be alone. When the morning call comes, it is more like an alarm than a call to wake up and begin your day. You wish with all your heart that you were with your friends in your own village, and your parents were alive. But wishing will not make it so. Your life is here and now, and you have a day's work to do. I'm coming, you yell, slipping on your pair of work shoes. You leave the shed, cross the courtyard, and enter the main house where the rest of the family is gathered for breakfast. You are to do the field in the upper section. It must be ready by tomorrow. Your uncle, Wei, says to you. Before you can reply, he is talking to the others, giving your cousins their task of the day. The two oldest sons are the favorites of the family, and they get the easiest fields to cultivate. The daughters must also work in the field, breaking up the thick yellow earth to ready the soil for plantation. They work just as hard as the men, only they are never given recognition for it. They have your sympathy, and although you are not particularly close to them, you get along well. Your older male cousins, on the other hand, don't like you. Even though you are family to them, you are an outsider, and another mouth to feed. You are very careful to steer clear of them. I want more, demands the eldest son, and he is given a generous ladle of gruel on his bowl. When one of the girls pushes her bowl forward for another portion, she is roughly rebuked, and the remaining ladle is poured into the father's bowl. You don't even bother to ask for a second helping. Have you heard about the sacrifice? Shining Face, the middle daughter, asks. Everyone is silent for a moment. These are dangerous times in China. A sacrifice usually means trouble of some sort. The year is AD 620, and China is in the throes of continuing internal struggle and attacks by the barbarian Eastern Turks all along the border of Mongolia. The Turks, with their savage cavalry, rush into the small towns and villages with their lances shining, their sabers cutting, and the flights of arrows filling the air until the sun is almost obliterated. However, there is hope for China in the form of the great warrior Li Shimin. Li Shimin is the son of Emperor Gaozu and the soldier hero of China. He is young, but he is fearless, bright, and ambitious. Wherever he goes, he commands the respect of both his own men and the enemy. With his own people, he shares their hardships, living in the field, going hand-to-hand combat, and never asking his men to do things that he himself would not do. His name fills people with pride and awe, as well as fear. For you, his name fills you with hope, and the chance to dream of a way out of this hard life that you have fallen into. This sacrifice is it for a battle to be fought for, or a victory, your uncle asks. You survey the faces at the long wooden table. His two sons are eager to hear, and you can see it in their eyes. For a battle to come, father, replies Shining Face. Then we must not rejoice. A battle means hard times, danger, death. Ours is but a field to be trampled upon. It does not matter by whom. They will destroy anything or anyone in their way. But, father, a sacrifice, it is to be a white horse. Li Shimin himself is to be there, Shining Face exclaims, excited at the protests of the ritual. Where? Asks the youngest son, in a tone anything but friendly. At the bridge over the river Wei, 2 hours from Longwei, she replies. You feel a rush of excitement. I must go, you say to yourself. I will go, you promise. Enough of this talk, your uncle says. One sure way for all of us to die is to go not plant the fields. So get to work. Let this warrior sacrifice his horse and his life if it's what he wants. We have to do. You look at your cousins, then yet your aunt and uncle. You rise, and your day begins. Silently, you file outside in the courtyard, gather your hoes and spades, and head for the section of land assigned to you. I wish I could go to the sacrifice, you say out loud. Nobody hears you, though, and you're thankful that they have not. Your dog, black-furred, short and powerful, nuzzles your hand. You forgot him this morning, and he reminds you of your duty to him. I'm going to feed Black Moon, you yell. Your uncles nod, and you turn back to the courtyard where you pour water, soy, and rotting wheat grains into the rough bowl. As Black Moon eats, you gaze out towards the road and leads to the river, in place, the place of the sacrifice. There are people on the road, and you're sure they are on their way to see the great Li Shi Min. You want to go to the sacrifice, but you wonder if you should risk your uncle's anger. If you decide to go to the sacrifice, text the number 17. If you decide to stay and work in the field, text the number 6.
Just text your decision in real time to 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811.
Broadcasting 24/7 from the Stanton Urban Studios, Appalachian Proud, Pickup Country 104.9, WSKV FM.
This message is brought to you by the Powell County Public Library. All checkout dates have been extended until further notice, and there will be no late fees on any account at this time. As the library works toward its reopening date, you can expect our book drop service to return soon, as well as our new innovative curbside service. For more information about these services and the innovative programs we offer, keep an eye on the official Powell County Public Library Facebook page for any and all updates. Free Wi-Fi is still offered at the Powell County Public Library, which is located by Stanton Elementary. To access this Wi-Fi from the comfort of your vehicle, just select the network Public Library Wireless and use the free Wi-Fi password, PCPLKY65. Free Wi-Fi is also provided at the stationary bookmobile, which is in its new location at Clay City Elementary. To take advantage of the bookmobile Wi-Fi, just sign on to the network, Bookmobile Wireless, and use the same password from the main library, which is PCPLKY65. Flyers containing all of this information are posted on the doors of the main library and on the bookmobile for reference. Although the library isn't open to the public just yet, you can still check out our online catalog by going to the Powell County Public Library's website at pcplky.org to see everything our digital collection has to offer. And you can check out digital library books, audiobooks, and magazines with the free Libby or OverDrive apps in the Google Play or App Store. All you need is the barcode number on the back of your library card to have access to thousands of ebooks and digital materials. For any questions, just message the official Powell County Public Library Facebook page or send the library an email at info@pcplky.org. The staff of the Powell County Public Library encourages the community to continue practicing safe social distancing methods as our community opens back up so that we can all be a part of Team Kentucky.
Hey friends, this is Sarah Beth Terry, and this is how you stay healthy at work. Sick employees should follow CDC recommended steps. Employees should not return to work until they have met the criteria to discontinue home isolation and have consulted with a health care provider in state or local health departments. This message has been brought to you by Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
We have decided to go to the sacrifice. You wait until your uncle and cousins are out of sight, on their way to the fields with the hoes and spades. You feel a tinge of excitement mixed with apprehension. You're already in bed with the family to begin with. Going to the sacrifice is sure to get you in even deeper trouble. But what do you have to lose? You reason. They treat you more like a servant than a relative anyway. What more could they do to you, especially if you never return? I'm my own person, you say out loud, careful to keep your voice low. Come, Black Moon, you tell your dog, who has been waiting patiently. He acknowledges your words with a nuzzle to your hand. It doesn't take long for you to get out of sight of the farm. Once you are on the road, you feel fine. The sun warms your back through the poor cloth of your shirt. and your feet feel good as they hit the powdery yellow earth. You whistle the way you used to when you lived with your parents. Their memory brings sadness to you, but it soon passes as you concentrate on the adventure that lies ahead. "Hey, you there," comes a voice. Looking up, you see a middle-aged man and his wife heading in the same direction. "Sir, are you talking to me?" you ask. "A brass coin says you're on your way to see the sacrifice. Another one says your parents don't know you're going." He laughs, but it is a kind laugh. "Leave the youngster alone," his wife says. She has a friendly look to her face, and you take an instant liking to these two people. "What village are you from?" you ask, falling into step alongside them. "Oh, you wouldn't know it. It's a small place to the north of here. But right now, we're on our way to Lingyang to find jobs. Start a new life," he says. You like the sound of his voice. "We could use someone like you. Am I right that you've left home?" he asks. "Well, you might say that." Briefly, you tell them about your parents and the story of the plague that killed them. They are very sympathetic. You can see it in their faces and hear it in their voices. "I'm a tailor. My wife is a painter of fine pottery. We could use a helper. What do you say? Would you like to join us?" he asks, looking at you expectantly. You are tempted to go with the couple, but you also wish to go to the sacrifice where you hope to see Li Shimin and his army. The couple offers you an opportunity for security. Li Shimin, on the other hand, might offer you a position in his army. If you decide to go with the couple, text the number 25. If you decide to continue on your way to the sacrifice, text the number 35.
You are the one controlling our stories. With the power to text, your faithful choices choose which path our story takes. Text 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811.
We have decided to go with the couple. "Okay, I'll come with you to Luoyang," you say to the couple. Your decision a quick one based on an intuitive feeling that these people are kind and will treat you well. If it doesn't work out, you can always leave them. The rest of the day passes like a holiday. You are free and you feel important. You are an adult in charge of your own life, not the property of someone else. What's more, it is obvious to you that these people need you, and they are as new to the city of Luoyang as you are. Together, the three of you will discover what it is like to live in a glorious city, one fabled throughout the region. The emperor has a palace there, one of many that he owns. There are stories of the many mandarins and landowners who have lived there in great wealth. As a child, you read stories of the court and its elegant men and women, all dressed in silk and wearing jewelry. A whole village could live well for a year with a revenue from one bracelet or necklace. "Luoyang is a rough place," the man says to you, a note of caution in his voice. His name is Han. He tells you, but you can call him Han. His wife is called the Flower on the Water, or Flower for short. "What do you mean?" you ask. Everything you have ever heard about Luoyang has made it sound like a paradise on earth. On the other hand, people do tend to exaggerate. Han hesitates for a moment, rearranging the heavy basket he carries. You have already taken his wife's smaller one, while she carries a bag made of beautiful red cloth, stuffed with clothes. And with that, we will continue next week.
Thank you so much for joining me tonight for Pick Your Own Adventure, and I hope you'll join me again next Tuesday at 6 p.m. right here live on Pickup Country 104.9 WSKV or online at listenlikealocal.com. If you missed us this time, remember you can listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com with your mobile app or from the Google Play or App Store or on Apple Podcasts. I wonder what crazy situations we'll get ourselves into next time here on Pick Your Own Adventure. Remember, you are the one controlling our stories. With the power to text, your faithful choices choose which path our story takes. Be sure to tune in next time, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Until then, stay safe out there and be healthy at home, my fellow adventurers. This is Clarissa Arvin, Bookmobile Librarian at the Powell County Public Library, signing off.